NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
There. Our house is a mess, y'all. Come on in. Welcome to Fly on the Wallin podcast, the show about influencing and parenting and recording it all for the world to see. I'm your neighborhood friendly black girl, Amber.
I'm Ben.
You look cute.
Thank you. Yeah, Amber styled me, made sure that we matched together. We got the pink, the salmon. Amber loves herself a good salmon.
By Amber styled, he means our creative director,
yes.
Taylor.
Yeah.
And Taylor, keep doing the damn thing.
Yeah. Yes,
we're Taylor. Looking better and better every single week with things that we already have in our closets. So we love that. Ben, okay, this is exciting. Here's the thing. This episode drops October 25th.
October 25th.
I think, yes.
That is a day. On a Wednesday.
Yep.
We will be in New York City.
Yes.
We'll be basically kicking it, having a good old time, showing the world the city of my favorite state in the entire United States, New York. Absolutely fantastic. We'll be at New York City Winery.
Tonight.
We got a variety show tonight.
We're there right now.
Right now. Probably not right now, because don't you like have this released at 12 a.m.
Yeah. It's a midnight drop.
Yeah, it's a midnight drop. At New York City.
But we're there, and guess what? You've already gotten your ticket. I'm going to predict the future right now. The show is already sold out because you got your ticket in advance.
It's been too late. So
it's too late.
You can check, but they're probably nothing.
It's too late. It's going to be so funny if people are listening to this. They're like, bitch, it's still
there's like 100 tickets left. You're fine.
It's fine. But yes, I hope you are laughing to our show right now or preparing to meet us. And if you're not, you can pre-order merch at www.amberwallen.com. We will put all of the information in the episode notes. Yeah. Before we get started with the show, I would love to read. I have one Apple Podcast review that I would like to read to you.
Yeah.
Is that cute?
Listen, this is the start of the show. Reading the podcast reviews are just as much part of the show as us just talking crap about nothing.
Yay. Okay. We got one beautiful 5-star review from Me Ashy Monster. Me Ashy Monster writes, 5 stars. I've been a fan of this show since the Sci-Fi Sci and before Amber got pregnant with WoW. Ooh, a real fan. I wasn't fortunate enough to listen to them before you changed the show up, but the change, the conversations, the guests, the laughs between you and Ben, I have never learned so much in relationships, friendships, and even parenting from anything I've ever done to become a proper parent and potential wife. You guys not only give the best advice by being your true, authentic selves, but the fun you have, the love you share, it lets me know true love and genuine people are still out there and I'm not alone. Amber, keep being the unapologetically loud, hilarious black woman you are. As a mixed Afro-Indigenous woman, you inspire me to be myself, to be loud, to be wild, spelled like our baby, and to not feel sorry for those who are intimidated by a strong woman. Ben, keep Amber on her toes. The element of mystery and surprise is a great way to keep your partner guessing. You remind me of my man. I never know what will come out of his mouth, but it's always hilarious and some if it's not some random fact. Wild. Oh, I'm not done, baby. Wild. You have the best parents in the world. They do everything for you. The pregnancy journey your mom and dad went through, it was just as beautiful as you are. You don't know me, but I'm your auntie now, and I can't wait to see what the future holds for you, princess. I love you guys. Isn't that a beautiful review?
That's fantastic. Save that one so that when Amber grows a little rebellious, we'll be like, hey, many people think we're great parents.
Oh, when Wild grows rebellious.
Yeah.
So are you calling her Little Amber right now?
Yeah, I've been calling her Little Amber for a little bit because she's got some characteristics about you that aren't the best.
Yeah, she's learned how to climb up on our coffee table, which you recorded this morning. I'm trying my best to use my words. She's a toddler, but I'm trying to use my words and my stern black mama look, but I don't really know what to do past that. Like, and we are trying we're trying to listen to Melissa's advice of not parenting each other while we parent. So Ben kind of has my back, but kind of lets me try to do it, and I feel like I'm failing.
We can
punt this to the imperfect parent.
We have to find replacement behavior. So she likes to climb, so we take her off that, and we give her some other thing to climb. There are these little climbing things that kids can have and create. I would love, at that point, maybe that's a signal for us to take her out to the park. We do take her to gymnastics once a week.
Yeah, we do.
And so...
we're doing our best, but sometimes she's just got to get off that coffee table. Yeah,
she does have to get
off. With her grubby little toes.
But honestly, I
don't.
I didn't have a problem with her being on the coffee table.
I know you didn't, which is why I'm like, back me up.
Because she doesn't weigh a lot, and she's learning about gravity and climbing and developing important skills. So I think
But every
it was
time
okay.
she climbs on the couch, she falls, and then she's crying. So and the couch
learned.
Is nice and cushy.
And she learned.
She hasn't been learning, bit. She literally will fall and hurt herself and get climb right back.
You don't
back
know
on
that.
Couch.
Maybe she needs to fall 30 times, and maybe she's only fallen 15 times. So we have to let her fall another 15 times for her to properly learn.
I don't think I'm wrong for not wanting my baby's messy little toes to climb all over my coffee table.
I also think I'm not wrong to allowing my baby's messy little cute adorable toes that are not even dirty to climb over the coffee table.
Okay, so we're at a standstill here.
If it bothers you, I'll let you teach her the replacement behavior, and I'll support you in that.
So you're saying it doesn't bother you that she's standing on the coffee table and could potentially fall and hurt herself?
No, because it's a shortfall.
What do y'all think? We will tag the video in the comments. We will tag the video in the episode notes, and y'all back me up, y'all, especially y'all black mamas out there. Back me up. This little girl does not need to be standing on my coffee table.
And white people out there, back me up.
You want white people to back you up? It just sounds different when you say it.
It does sound terrible. My people, back me up against my black wife. What the fuck?
They gonna have my back. Just wait. Just wait. YouTube, pull up. YouTube gang, pull up for me, please. Anyway, our first segment is not Imperfect Parent. Our first segment of the show is called Hashtag Influence, where we talk about what's going on the internet, our life as influencers and creators. So Ben makes our outline. So this week, category is Jesus Ween. What's going on with Jesus Ween? Why can't they just call it Fall Festival like they used to?
Yeah, just every time on the internet around Halloween, I keep on seeing the viral Jesus Ween sort of news report. You can look it up. It's very funny, but basically a church decides to do Jesus Ween because they think Halloween is the celebration of the devil. And so people will dress up as Bible characters and go to church. Yeah.
See, at least say like follow the through line.
Yeah.
I remember the girl, the woman who dressed like Dorothy and the daughter and was like, "We're Christians, so we don't celebrate Halloween, but we do like to dress up." And everybody's like, "That's Halloween. Yeah, that's what the rest of us are doing too."
Yeah. The idea that Halloween is a time that you burn Bibles and dance naked and have crazy sex in sheep's blood under like a pentagram, that's not what people do.
Yeah.
Like, we don't celebrate Halloween.
So I'm curious, growing up in your religious home, what did y'all do every year for Halloween?
Most of the people did not in our church thought like Halloween was a celebration of the devil and things that are evil. And since the scripture verse, the Lord hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of sound mind, and Halloween is a celebration of fear and the recognition of fear as an important part of being human, and also the idea that, you know, the dead are allowed to come out and play, or the things, the scary past, the things under the bed for that one night are allowed to come out and be wild. I think it's such a wonderful concept, but also antithetical to the evangelical Christian movement I grew up in. My mom didn't really care. She would let us dress up.
Oh, nice.
So my mom thought, you know, it was fun to go out and get free candy. Also, my mom loves candy.
She's so, like, "Dang, I love God, but I got a sweet tooth.
Yeah, I got a sweet tooth. What so can I let do? Me get my kids out here." So, and then
I have a question about that.
I've been thinking about just the Jesus Ween. They call it Harvest Fest, and how Christians will often take a concept and just steal that concept and put it in
yes.
a completely different context.
Yes, which we started to talk about that last week with Aniko's song. We will tag here in episode notes the white lady who like remixed it and dismissed Aniko's song as demonic and yeah. satanic. And, you know, there's all these like remnants of the satanic panic happening. I have a question about there are ghosts in the Bible, like
yeah.
in certain things, or I guess like the Holy Ghost. So how do people at church respond to, like, I believe in the Holy Ghost, but not, like, other ghosts of past or...
Well, the Holy Ghost or like, you know, is how, part like, of the Trinity. It's
right.
And that's why people say Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Or even, yeah. like, I you know, it's been a minute, but, like, okay, the angel of death in the Old Testament, for example. That's kind of like a ghost.
No, angel... are different beings. They're not. Ghosts are the spirits of humans that are unrested. Angels are made up of different matter. I mean,
I just feel like they're like cousins a little bit.
No, they're different entities. Angels don't have free will.
Ah.
Well,
and
actually,
ghosts do.
There were angels who did have free will and they became demons.
Got
according
it.
To white evangelicals, like the way they read the Bible, the text.
Got you.
Judaism has different angelology and demonology. And yeah, so, but Christians generally understand that angels do the bidding of God.
I see.
And demons do the bidding of Satan. And they're separate entities. Angels, there was a point where demons did have free will. And so
got
they decided
you.
To follow Satan. They rebelled against Satan.
Okay, I see. This is a real breakdown for me because I think I had all of these entities under the umbrella of ghost.
Well, all demons are angels, but not all angels are demons.
All demons are angels, like fallen angels,
mm-hmm.
but not all angels are demons.
Correct.
Got you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that breakdown. How do you feel about? I feel this way, going back to Jesus Ween for a second, I feel I don't like a spiritual version of anything in the same way that I don't like a black version of a white thing.
I see.
Like, I love, y'all know this is like the hill I'm going to die on, but I just don't like The Wiz. I can't,
yeah.
I can't get down with it. Was it a great cast? Yes. Was there some great singing? Yes. But I don't, like, we have our own black stories. Like, I just don't think we needed a black version of The Wizard of Oz. We could have just made our own thing.
My bigger problem is that people steal. There's a form of
right.
theft going on.
And then there's a form of, like, well, what I'm doing is moral and what you're doing is demonic. That is, I, yes. like, is just wrapped in white supremacy.
Yes, I'm taking the song or the lyrics or the beat mm-hmm. and I'm using, you know, God's given talent, and I'm using the scripture to make it clean. So I'm taking what you have dirtied and corrupted, and I'm cleansing it.
Got it. Yeah, that's what I don't like. Whereas, I guess in the case of The Wiz, one person, I guess, was like, we have a concept here, let's season it more.
Yeah.
I guess, do you think white evangelicals think they're seasoning these things when they're...
I think white evangelicals
like they
struggle with developing their own culture, so they'll steal rock. So rock, there's a Christian rock music, very, very big. It's not so much big now, but in the early 2000s, I remember mm-hmm. it everywhere. I mean, it still could be pretty big now in certain settings, but they had Creation Fest, Inside Out Soul Fest, these massive,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Some moneymakers.
You know, there was, you know, you think of the band Audio Slave, and then there's the band Audio Adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like all these parallel of bands. Newsboys were just using secular rock.
And I don't know any of these bands.
Yeah, they were huge, multi-million dollars. DC Talk, Jesus Freak. You ever listen to Jesus Freak? Mm-mm. What would people do if they knew I was Jesus Freak? What would people say? Dun, dun, dun. And then Toby Mac went off, did his solo. These people were making millions of dollars, all under mostly the Warner Brothers label company, which is so funny. You know, Warner Brothers knew that they could target a Christian audience by just using the same kind of music that was being developed by rock stars, but just changing the verses.
Of course.
But ultimately, you're giving your money to Warner Brothers and all the producers and the people who are mixing and, you know, for the most part, were the same people. Which is so funny to me.
Yeah, that's interesting because gospel doesn't feel like that. Like, yeah. Gospel feels like its own unique creative thing. In some way. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like its own genre.
Yeah, there's no, yeah.
Whereas, like, gospel. A Christian rock is just, like,
it's just taking
cleansed rock.
Rock.
Yeah, yeah,
it's cleansed rock.
So, what is, for like, I guess we're obviously on different algorithms. When people are seeing Jesus Wayne, are you just seeing, like, people taking it seriously or, like, everybody making fun of everybody in Jesus Wayne?
No, everyone's like, yeah, come to the second coming of Jesus Wayne. He will... go, it will affect you deeply. You know, just, the girth of the experience is quite large. Like that, it, all these, you know, penis jokes, obviously.
Oh,
second coming.
Like Jesus's wiener.
Jesus's wiener. Oh,
they,
yeah, it's a Jesus wiener.
Yeah, see,
wiener
they should have called it like Halo Ween.
Right.
Like an angel. I feel like that would have slapped harder.
I think, again, evangelical Christians are very interesting when it comes to sex. They don't really like to talk about it. They preach abstinence. And yet so much of Christian worship music takes part in this thing called bridal mysticism, which is this idea of associating yourself as the church, as the bride of Christ, and that you have this sexual experience
with Jesus.
With Jesus. So you use sexual language to describe your intimacy with Christ.
Is that what they think that they're doing, or that's like the movement?
The language is sexual.
The language, right.
Like I'm telling, Jesus is my boyfriend was a thing that I used to make fun of all the time. Now I'm so over it. I'm like, y'all go do your thing. I respect it. It's, you know, you're not really hurting anybody,
right?
Making Jesus your boyfriend. Just
this was a movement.
Oh my God, Jesus is my boyfriend. It was a huge movement in the Vineyard worship music and the Hillsong music.
Gotcha. Yeah, I do know Hillsong.
You know Hillsong.
I did watch
now.
That documentary.
You watched
yeah.
it. Yeah. So all that music, Joel Houston. You know, all that music. It makes Jesus as my boyfriend.
Jesus is my boyfriend. Wow. I have not heard this. You put me on some white culture right now.
Yeah, this is evangelical Christians. My problem is that the evangelicals, they create this fringe cultural movement and they create their own colleges. They have their own music, their own fiction, etc., all of that. But what they do, and they've done this so successfully, is that they have incepted that into our government so that... Mm.
Yeah, so you wouldn't have a problem with it if it wasn't
being
into
enforced
legality.
Like, let's
yeah.
force this
legislation.
On other people
yeah.
using legislation. Or yeah, and that's where I have no patience.
I got
for
you.
The Christian, the evangelical Christian movement, the way it's been politicized and wrapped in politics, that has justified, you know, bombing Iraq or giving Israel unequivocal support to basically create the largest open air prison. Or I'll call it a concentration camp in Gaza. So, like, mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
that's, but white evangelical Zionists. Well,
take it back to Jesus Wayne
yeah,
for
I'm
a minute.
Yeah, I'm just saying
okay.
that's, mm-hmm. so they create these really funny subculture things that we make fun of, like Jesus Wayne.
Right.
But the people who would participate in that are very politically active.
I hear you.
And it's because they're literally they're trying to create their own society.
I got you.
And then they inflict that society on the larger culture.
What say you about Jesus Wayne? We will hear in the YouTube comments below.
Make sure your comments are very long, like Jesus Wayne.
Okay. You duh.
I'm done. We shouldn't be. I just, come on, like, Harvest Fest. We called it Harvest Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had it called, at my church, it was called Fall Festival growing up. And I'll be honest, it was lit. Yeah. We had tons of fall games, you know, candy apples, all of that.
That's like, fine if you don't want to do scary things.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm okay with that. Even though, moving on to our next segment.
Yeah, let's talk about Imperfect Parent for a second. So we have scaring children on the docket.
Scaring children.
I'm not a fan. Go ahead.
I wore a mask and we filmed it and I scared the shit out of my child. Like, she was freaking out.
And you did not post it, correct?
I didn't post it.
Yeah, because I didn't even like that.
Amber didn't like that.
Don't be scaring my baby.
There's a book called Scream. It's the psychology of, like, terror. It's a book, something along the line. If you type Scream book, very popular book. Mm-hmm. But in this book, this woman studies people going through a haunted house and then interviews them after. And basically what she came to realize that... being scared in a closed, safe environment like a haunted house can result in like a decrease of stress. So people who went through the haunted house, they did a study. If they were feeling more stressful or anxious about work or normal life things, once they got through the haunted house, that terror ended up lessening their stress in their real life.
Because it was like a form of escapism?
Yeah, it was a form of escapism. It was a form of... simply just having that that heightened awareness.
Yeah.
So similar response. Meditation and feeling scared have very similar brain responses. Like, what's going on in your brain? So I'm all for scaring my child.
Okay. Translating that to the children is quite a leap. But I definitely remember I was about to go to sleep last night. We'll talk more about this movie in the Shelfie segment. I was about to go to sleep last night and we were like, no, let's just stay up and watch this really scary movie. And we watched it. And because I've been a little bit stressed about some work things, classic me. And the stress and anxiety of this film almost like made me forget about the work stress.
Yes.
Because weren't we so anxious like the first 30 to 40 minutes of this film?
Yeah.
And thereafter. Oh. And I remember thinking like, dang, like the stress I just felt here, I ain't even worried about my job no more. And so it did de-stress me with other things, but I don't think a child has the cognitive awareness of like, oh, I'm being terrified in a safe space.
Right. So that's the other thing is that when you teach kids to be fearful, for example, with their family, that can also teach them that, oh, this person was wearing masks, the mask is now off their head, I'm okay.
So it's a way
for them to distinguish between fake fear and real fear.
Fake fear and real fear.
Yeah, right. Which is because our brains... Our technology has developed faster than our brains. Our societies have developed faster than our brains. So we have this part of our amygdala, this fight or flight response that is really not up to par with our technology. So things that we shouldn't be scared of, like little clicking noises or the dark, still scare us in very, very real ways. The other thing I was reading is that games like hide and seek in tag are basically predator prey theater.
Okay.
And at their core, those are scary games.
They are scary games.
Scary
and she kind of loves those.
And she loves those.
Oh, so she loves hiding behind something and the suspense. Yes. She likes the game of like, oh, my mom's about to come find me and I'm about to
so
get
she's
like
she's learning that's like a fake, she's that's a fake fear. It's not a real fear. It's something to embrace, to laugh at. And that can prepare them for dealing with real fear in the future or discerning what's fake, what's real fear.
Perhaps, but you're not wearing that mask around my baby no more. Right.
Maybe not around you and the baby.
No.
You won't have to know.
Or let her like hang out with the mask for a minute on her own.
I mean, what
and
do y'all
then...
think? When parents, there are so many funny videos of parents setting up like a mannequin in their kid's room and dressing it and then waking up the kid. The kid's like, wow, like freaking out. I love that. It's cute.
I mean, so near our house, there's this coffee shop that has put out like all these Halloween decorations. Yeah. And this is the coffee shop we frequent like almost every day. So of course she's used to going to this coffee shop, but now because of these, like they have this like little haunted doll in the corner on our way to the bathroom. And she was just completely panicking, and I had to like pet the doll's hair just so she would know, like,
right,
you're okay.
But you're teaching, that's now a teachable moment. right? Yeah. This is not real. This is
yeah.
fake.
I don't think that the like I'm not one of those parents being like, "What are you doing with all of these decorations?" Yeah. Like I liked teaching her like, "Look, this skeleton. It's not
totally
real."
Fine.
Like yeah.
She was freaked out because they had the pastry sort of opened like cake container. And underneath that, they put these two big hands, like
crawling
out.
Like crawling out from underneath the fridge.
It was just really fun. And she was, inquisitive about that. It gave her something to explore.
I mean, Wild doesn't even like mascots. Like, the first time we took her to Disney World, she was, like, so over.
Man.
Like we waited in line for Mickey Mouse that very first time. And, of course, the minute Mickey, I mean, to be fair, like, a big ass rat is like kind of terrifying, but like we waited in line for Mickey. You know, Mickey got the longest freaking line, and then she completely panicked and freaked out, which was so cute. But that's okay.
Yeah,
we can't do that. Anyway, you want to read some letters?
Yeah, I'll definitely read some letters.
Letters. We're blowing right through today. Jesus is my boyfriend. Letter number one. Oh, this is the I do's and don'ts, our relationship advice segment. And if you do have questions about your relationship, please find your way to my DMs or the Fly on the Wallin podcast DMs and just drop your situation. We'll try our best to help you out. Dear Fly on the Wallin, I need some advice. I'm 22 years old. He was 30 years old. Was because I'm going through a breakup right now. And the reason I broke up with him is because my family doesn't like him. There would be days where I would text him and he just wouldn't reply, or he would just leave me on read. And also, I feel like he was using me because he still lives with his sister and he has a kid. And I'm in the middle of moving, so my family just thought he was talking to me because I was moving and he wants to live with me. Anyway, he ended up blocking me on everything. So me and him are not on speaking terms. I keep hoping and praying that me and him get back on speaking terms because I really care about him and his kid too. Please help me get over this breakup.
Yeah. Well, first, you did the hardest thing, which is
the necessary thing.
Getting a guy to block you. It's very hard to get a guy to block you. Guys will not block women that they can have sex with. They really don't.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
So you did the right thing.
Have you ever blocked somebody? A woman?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Why did you block her?
Because I was dating you.
Oh, this is the girlfriend before me.
Yeah.
So you got to the point where you needed to block her.
Yeah, she was like calling me drunk late at night. I was like, okay.
Wait, when we first started dating, she was calling you?
Yeah. Like early us, like within, a month.
And even a month in, you blocked her?
Hell yeah. I was done. I didn't like her.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Explain really quick. I'm sure you'll be talking about this on stage tonight in New York City. But okay. So how long did you date this woman?
Four or five years.
You dated somebody 4 years before me? Yeah. 6 months.
It felt like 4 to 5 years.
Because it was so bad. And so when y'all broke
time
up,
is relative.
Y'all were still sort of like on and off.
A little bit, yeah. Occasionally, like a dog that returns to its vomit, I return to having sexual relations with her occasionally. And yes, I just compared an ex to vomit, but I think that might be relevant.
Okay, so, and then you met me.
I did meet you.
The queen
bee. And you're not vomit, even though ask you to be my girlfriend while you were vomiting.
Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah, because
you were great.
So, even after a month of talking to me, you were like, I got to block this bitch.
Yes, absolutely. I think it was within a week or 2 weeks.
Because she was hitting you up late at night?
Yeah. I feel about my sleep.
Wanted some of that Jesus wing.
She was like, how are you? I'm in your neighborhood. I was like, I'm asleep. I was like, but I'm very kind. I'm like, are you okay? Okay, you're not in danger. Okay, good. Stop talking to me.
You weren't going to give her that Jesus wing?
No. You were the only one getting the salvation.
You are a clown. Okay, so let me ask you this.
That's what we call my dick.
We got the joke. Let me ask you this. If you weren't dating me, would you have still been sleeping with her?
No, at that point, I was so done.
Is she still blocked to this day?
Yeah, that number is blocked.
Dang. Cold ass bitch. All right, so what advice could you give our listener to like getting over a breakup? Because who dumped who in that relationship?
I think it was like a mutual dumping.
So she dumped you. So how did you get over her?
I think the best way to get over somebody.
You've been dumped a couple times, right?
I've been dumped all three times. The best way to get over somebody is to find the replacement. We call it a rebound, but here's the thing about rebounds.
So I'm a rebound.
Rebounds actually make you an all-star player. When you rebound, especially an offensive rebound, you're closer to getting the shot again. A rebound is a good thing. The idea that a rebound is like, oh, just a rebound. No, you get the rebound, now you're in a position to score again. So go ahead, find a rebound, because the closest way to get over a man is finding another man.
To get under.
Yeah.
So
you get under a new man, right? Isn't that, that's the thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What? So you've been dumped all three times. Mm-hmm. What was the first reason you were dumped for?
This is all part of my stand-up.
Okay.
So I could go into these stories.
Okay, we'll save it.
We'll save it. You gotta see our live show. Coming to a city near you.
Coming to a city near you. Yes, yes, yes. I don't want to spoil.
Yeah, I got some fun stand-up bits
okay,
about this.
Can I ask you this, at least because I don't think this is in your set. What, I obviously know with the girlfriend before me, you were not heartbroken by that dumping.
Yeah.
But you have been really hurt, like, over one of these women dumping you.
One of them was pretty hurtful. The way I got over it, I think I binge-watched a really good TV show.
Got you.
So I'm pretty sure that I went ahead and started, I think I watched all of Battlestar Galactica. I went through and watched all of Battlestar Galactica. I got the DVDs from the library.
Okay.
Because I didn't have enough money to pay for like Netflix or whatever Battlestar Galactica was on at streaming service was on at this point. So I went ahead and got all the DVDs, watched all of it. I watched like three seasons of the new Doctor Who episodes. Loved that. Mm. So I immersed myself in TV and then I immersed myself in an author that I absolutely love. And I just reread his books over and over and over again. And
I love that.
Funny fantasy. So I found something that was enjoyable for me. And I let my addictive self sink into that. So.
Oh, we love that for you. Yeah. Okay. Well, listener, I don't think I've ever been dumped. I think I always did the dumping.
But you've been heartbroken.
It's still hard.
So how do you get over heart? What do you do?
If I
were to dump you today, what would you do?
I just have to like fill my calendar with stuff. Yeah. Like I don't even give myself an opportunity to like, of course I'll get sad at some point, but in the time that I'm like actually having time to sit with myself, I'm hopeful that I'm so tired that I just cry myself to sleep. Mm. But I just stay busy. I pour into friendships. I pour into work. I pour into baby.
Also, neither of these things get to the root of the issue. Which is dealing with the sadness.
Distractions.
You're distracting yourself with rebounds and TV shows.
But that's how breakups work. Like after time, you do start to feel better. You're like, I can see myself without this person again. I can, especially when you reach that point where you've been broken up longer than you were together.
Yep.
Like I feel like that's typically a really nice sweet spot. But you know, we always have to be in a place where we're ready to let people go. And I think we said this on an earlier podcast, like your families typically like love you and support you. And so if they're not supporting this person that you're with, like I definitely say like lean into, because she was saying the reason she broke up with her family basically thinks like he's using me for housing.
Yeah, 30 to 22, still like not living on your own. You have a kid that is...
And who knows if you, I don't even think you live with your kid. You live with your, like this guy sounds like he lives with his sister and he also just has a kid.
That you've also met.
So like, why doesn't he have his own housing? What kind of father is he?
It sounds like this person knows that the breakup was important, that it needed to happen.
Absolutely.
But you still miss, like when you connect with somebody and you're, because I have broken up with people that were not good for me, and I still miss them.
Right.
And that's the reality. That's a part of being human.
I feel like sometimes, though, there was this guy that I was dating-ish. Oh, well, there's been a couple guys that I was, like, dating, and then, like, we were never officially, like, boyfriend and girlfriend.
But then
they kind of stopped talking to me.
They just ghosted you.
Yeah, they kind of like they ghosted me or they fell off. What's crazy to you?
The idea that you would date somebody and not be official but wanted to be official.
Yeah. That'd be happening. Because, you know, people want to run the streets and stuff, you know.
I've never felt that. Like, I've always wanted to be like, yeah, let's be official right away. Like, within 24 hours.
I remember.
I just love the idea of, like, you're my girlfriend.
Yeah, like, week two, you wanted to, like, hold my hand. And I was like, what are you doing? I didn't slap you away, Melania Trump.
That's when I knew she would be the mother of my child.
Right. I was just like, what is this white boy doing?
You were so uncomfortable.
I was like, why are you trying to hold my hand?
In Rogers Park. I was like, we were walking together. I was like, I'm going to hold your fucking hand.
I ain't holding your goddamn hand. We are still testing out the waters.
And you have to, and you were so weirded out about.
Yes, because we just started dating. I feel like hand holding is for like, okay, we're together, we're in it, you're my boo. You don't feel that way?
You were all up in my mouth and you didn't want to hold my hand.
You mean like kissing you?
Yeah, we would kiss on the couch. Yeah, we had kissed out on the couch by that time, but you couldn't. It was weirder. That's nuts to me that it was weirder to hold hands in public than to get nasty on your couch.
I don't think that's weird.
That's so weird.
Publicly? Like you had
public
not, you had
hand?
Not earned the spot to be with me at that point.
I was walking and just to show like, hey, we're together. So
I know it's cute now. Of course, I'll hold your hand in public now. But what do y'all think? If you're
like
dating some guy,
just 2 weeks.
It was like two. It was like 1 or 2 weeks in.
And you've made out with this person.
Yeah,
we hadn't had sex, but at that point.
Yeah, but like making out is like sexual. Whereas, like, there's an intimacy that comes with, like, oh, you want to hold my hand and, like, physically show me that you have my back or something like that.
See,
and I don't know you.
Making out is, like, really not that intimate.
Not really. It can be. But you can also drunkenly make out with a stranger and then never talk to them again.
We weren't drunkenly making out.
But you don't drunkenly hold someone's hand, typically.
I see a lot of drunk people holding hands.
I feel like drunk people holding hands are, like, probably just together.
Right. We were together walking down the street
how
in Rogers
soon,
Park.
I want to hear from y'all. How soon do y'all hold someone's hand?
You loved it though.
Well, as I saw that you were like, oh, you're here to stay.
Yeah.
You're whatever, but.
The first time you still liked it, you're like, oh, that's weird. You said that you were uncomfortable.
I remember I was like, I'll do it, but this is not.
You did. You liked it.
I did not.
You didn't like it?
I like it now. I like it now.
But you didn't like it the first time?
I didn't trust it. I was wary of it, let's say.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, it worked out, Ben. I think it worked out. I think it's safe to say we worked.
Yeah. So it's better to hold hands in the beginning.
Well, with you, we stayed together, so it's fine.
Yep.
At KPMG, our people make the difference. It's not just something we say, it's what we do. Combining the power of people and technology, we uncover brighter insights, innovate bolder solutions, and create better data-driven outcomes. KPMG. Make the difference.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Letter number two. Dan, you hurt?
No, it's funny that you
think
holding hands is.
I'm wary of everything. You know, I'm like that with most things.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I get a good opportunity in my inbox, I'm like, they probably are going to pick somebody else. Like, let me just wait for the other shoe to drop. Letter number two. Dear Fly on the Wildin', I've been dating my boyfriend for about 4 months, and he always does this thing where he says, "You're mine." It's cute, but then I'm confused. I always ask, like, what does that mean? And I never really get a response. I always feel like if a man wants something, he'll go get it and claim it. But this is confusing, and I don't know how I feel about it. I've told him a million times that it bothers me that he says that I'm his because I don't know what that means. And then when I ask him, he says, "You're smart. You can figure it out." And he'll tell me I'm overthinking, which I do a lot. But this situation is different. What are your thoughts about calling your partner yours?
Okay, well, first of all, let's just go back to the fact that you've made your needs known.
Right.
And he's ignored them.
Right.
So that's something you need to keep in the back of your head. You said, "Hey, I want to know what this means." And his response to you was disrespectful. Let's call it what it was. "You're smart. You should figure it out." So you have to address that. And if he's not receptive, and if you're like, "Hey, this bothers me when you say you're mine."
Yeah.
Because it feels, and then just tell him what you think it feels like. It'd be like, "It sounds possessive. I don't like it. Please stop calling me that." And if he can't respect that, then he's not going to respect other parts of you in the future. And it's 4 months is still early in the relationship for you to sort of nip some of these things in the butt.
Yeah. I definitely, do you remember that Destiny's Child song, like, "Cater to You"?
Mm-mm.
I know that's a real throwback, but there's a Destiny's Child song. It's really beautiful, but there's some parts of it.
I knew Out of Eden, not Destiny's Child. It was the Christian. Out of Eden. It was the Christian black girl singing group. Out of Eden. We'll listen
to it. It's three black girls?
Yeah.
And they're Christian.
Yeah. Out of Eden.
Okay. We'll listen to it on the way back. Yeah. So this Destiny's Child song had some, it's very like, "Let me cater to you. You're mine. I'll run your bathwater. My life would be purposeless without you," or some of the lyrics. Yeah, it didn't age well for the modern woman. We're like, and I don't mind running a bathwater. Like, that's cute.
Put some salt in it.
Yeah, there's one part bubbles. That's like, "Baby, put your do-rag on," which doesn't really, that didn't age well for me, I guess. Unless you would like me to put a do-rag on you. But "Cater to You," I remember people talking about it later and saying, like, this is, like, unhinged. Like, "My life is purposeless without you." Like, all of this sort of, like, rhetoric of, like, "You're mine. Everything you do is for me and for us. And I am you and I'm in your skin." And it's too much.
Yeah.
And we've talked about in the past, like, owning your own sexuality, and I think owning your own personhood is very important as well. And like Ben said, like, if you said to him, like, "Hey, you saying I'm yours makes me uncomfortable. Like, I'm not your property. It's a little cringy to me. Maybe we can find something else for you to say. Like, I really love being with you. Like, I'm so lucky that we're in this relationship." I guess that's more words to say. But if even something cute, something cute, like, because I told you, remember, you're critiquing this letter, but we just talked about how, like, in the beginning, I was uncomfortable holding hands.
Sure.
So it's like, if you're sensing that fear and discomfort, but you're like, "Oh, I'm going to do it anyway." Like, that's something to keep in the back of your mind. Right.
Right. I mean, I thought you have. Yeah, I don't think you were very clear with that you didn't want to hold my hand. I thought you were uncomfortable about it. You're like, you said, "Yeah, oh, okay." Yeah,
it kind of took me off guard because I was, it's twofold. It was one.
I
won't compare it to the letter.
Don't compare my situation. I think our situation was different.
It is different. But I know for the hand holding, it was twofold. It was one, like, not being used to someone wanting to hold my hand. So maybe there was, like, a little bit of insecurity there. And then two, it's like, connected hand holding with something a bit more serious, you know?
Yeah.
So like it felt for me like, oh, this is like our relationship is maybe expediting. Like I've only known this man for a week or 2 weeks, and now he's already wanting to hold my hand. Like, this feels fast. I guess if I could clear up what that discomfort meant. So maybe the your mind feels fast to the person that wrote this mm-hmm, letter. Or maybe sure. It just feels like, I don't like when you say I'm yours, because that could start to encompass so many other things. It's like, well, why are you talking to this other dude at work? You're mine. Well, why are you doing this? Why are you wearing that skirt? You're mine. And so I just know that can really be misogynistic, like as the relationship potentially develops. Well, maybe it's just like, oh, I'll be mine. Like a
this
Valentine.
Person said that they've been saying this a million times, that I'm uncomfortable with this.
Yes.
If you were to say something, hey, I'm uncomfortable holding hands, I'd be like, all right, like, let's talk about that. Why are you that way?
Right.
And then it would be a larger conversation about intimacy and what you associate hand-holding to be. And then I would explain why I think we should hold hands, and then we'd have a conversation. It sounds like this person is blackballing you when you try to bring this up. And that, for me, just tells me that this person you're dating is going to be very difficult to have difficult conversations. If you can't have a simple conversation.
I should go through your phone. You're mine. Totally see this getting
that as well. It could be a possess, but I'm just saying, like, in the future when you have to have real conversations mm-hmm. about money, or real conversations about where you want to travel, and you can't have a simple conversation about understanding exactly the history of why this person keeps on saying, you know, I'm yours or whatever, then forget having more difficult conversations. So
I'm glad this person asked this question, because I think with dating today, especially, it's sometimes hard to decide, like, should I stop dating this person? This feels like such a small offense. This feels like such a small thing. Like, if I tell my friends I'm excited about this new person, and then we're dating for 4 months, and then I go to my friends, I'm like, I broke up with him because he said, like, that I'm his, and that made me feel uncomfortable. Like, so sometimes I think some people are trying to debate, like, is this worth ending a relationship over, or is this something I should just be aware of?
Yeah.
Like, I think it is kind of a little bit, I think it's a red flag. It's not to him saying it, you saying you're uncomfortable with it, and him saying you're smart, you can figure it out. I think that's definitely a red flag.
I'm curious how he responds to other hurdles that y'all might have had about maybe if you didn't like a restaurant or if you didn't like a movie, and how other disagreements, minor disagreements, would look. Because 4 months, you're really not disagreeing about anything.
Right.
You might disagree.
This might be the first red flag then.
Yeah. So just.
What was my red flag?
Your red flag? Like your first red flag?
In the beginning, yeah. It's probably hella flags now, but.
Yeah. I think the first red flag was when I discovered that you participate in a very unhealthy kind of behavior called the silent treatment. I made this wonderful woman run like a mile before we went to the movies, and that was the first time I ever saw her like not talk to me. She's like, oh. I was like, what's wrong? That was your response. And I found out later that you really didn't like any exercise that involved cardio. You've changed, obviously, now.
I don't like when I think I'm going on a brisk romantic walk and then I'm being yelled at like a drill sergeant to run a mile.
Oh, I didn't know I was yelling like a drill sergeant.
Yeah, well, that's what it feels like. Because sometimes you're like, come on, just one more.
Yeah, for me, I thought I was encouraging you. Mm-mm. I was like, you got this. Like, come on, let's do it. You move a little faster.
To echo Ben's red flag was like some communication style things. Like, I remember this. So Ben, we lived close enough in Chicago at this point in our relationship in the very beginning. We lived close enough for Ben to run to my house. That's why you might hear a lot
for some
running
people.
Stories.
I was like 2 miles away. So
Ben was 2 miles away, and he would always run the 2 miles because he still is a big runner, but
I was huge.
He was a daily runner, tons of miles a week. So he would run 2 miles to my house, and I think he would I would maybe leave the back door open for you so you could like come up into the apartment, and you would always leave that back door open. And I would be like, and even my roommate was like, we cannot have you leaving this back door open. Like, when you come in, can you lock it? Can you whatever? Like, it was constant.
Sorry, Jason.
Yes. And so I remember thinking early on, I was like, okay, he is somebody who needs many, many, many reminders to do a thing.
I get distracted very easily, yep.
Yes, this man, it's not I guess that's bad to call that a red flag. Like, silent treatment is bad. Like, it just, I didn't realize how
much redirection.
How easily much distracted. Redirection you need. You are very easily distracted. I love you so much. But you know how you are.
I am. I'm that way, which is why I got you hyper focused.
I'm like, how does he navigate the world like
how
this?
Did that exist?
Like how has he managed to have the success that he has with this lack of focus?
Well, because I only focus on two or three things. Like, you were doing 100 different things all the time. For the most part, I was very much only doing one thing, which was working at a school. And I didn't really have any other hobbies. I didn't really go out. I played music, but I didn't really do any other thing.
Right.
Like, I didn't really even had very close friends that I would meet with regularly, maybe two or three. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have a group of homies that I was hanging out with all the time, where you had like a group of people that you hung out with every single weekend.
And yeah.
So you did creative things, you coached step team, you were a
yeah,
teacher,
I did like
you
a
were very
things.
Involved with your family, you know, going back and forth. You just had you were able to do a million things. For me, I've always done two or three things.
I know.
Now we do a million things.
We
now,
do a million things now,
difficult.
And you still need some prodding.
It's
from
hard.
Time to time.
I've gotten some. I got some hacks. Basically, waking up every day, trying to do the same thing every day. Wake up.
Or I
stretch,
have had to like.
Drink
been,
water.
You know, I love you, but you know, you. I have had to look up like, you know, you've looked at a Google search history of mine in the middle of the night, being like, does
adult,
my husband has ADHD?
Adult ADHD.
Does my husband have ADD? I'm not laughing at people that have that, but some of the tactics that they give me have worked on you.
Like what?
Okay, one of them is I have to touch you if I need a task done. So
oh, yeah,
I have to touch
work.
You and make eye contact with you.
That
so
work.
I cannot, if you're upstairs or whatever, I can't say like, hey, can you take the trash out on your way out? You can never
I
just
will
say
not
like, sure.
Do that. I'm
you,
like reading
forget.
A book. I'll be like, yeah. And I didn't even know I said yeah.
Right. Yes.
I'll
yes.
respond without realizing,
yes,
but I'm
response.
Usually reading a book.
Yes. You respond.
I
you
feel
respond
so bad. And
so
then,
many times
and
without
then you get mad
listening.
Because you're like, you lied to me. And I was like, I never said that. And then
I'm like, yes,
so
you
like,
did.
Play
man.
Back the recording.
Yeah. I
and
record
like, yes,
everything. So you can't even help.
I did say I would do this. I don't remember it. I think I just had it as a response because obviously, yeah, I can take out the trash. That's I can physically do that if I'm able to. It's a very easy thing for me to
Everybody
do.
Everybody in my family's like, he got something. We don't know exactly what it is.
Oh my God.
He got a little touch of something. It's you know, and I don't care, but I don't care if you have ADD. Like
you have cared.
Oh, you got something. I want to be clear about that. I think everybody knows you got some, but it's not like, oh wow, my husband has a disability. Like I can't be
with
this man. But I will say, sometimes making you text me your list of what you're gonna do is also something.
Yeah, I have.
It's
done
just
that.
A hurdle that we have to get through. And I got tons of anxiety.
And I want to do it. I'm also on board to this. Where there are some people, specifically men, who would not. Like that. They wouldn't take umbrage the fact that they need to be held accountable by their partner.
I think
especially
also
when their partner's a woman.
Like considering or even like acting as if you have like a neurodivergent brain has helped me because it's like when I get frustrated, I'm like, this is just how his brain works.
Yeah,
like
I'm not malicious.
Yeah, I'm trying my best to remind myself, but it does scare me sometimes if as Wild gets older and we're doing more
like,
and I'm gonna be like,
Walmart
yes,
something.
Yes. I'm gonna be like, you said you were picking her up from soccer practice. Where is she? You're like, was that today? Like, I know that this is gonna happen. Like,
no, we have Google Calendar. I've been using it better.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on to the last and final thing.
Shelfie. Okay, what do we watch?
Woo! Dude, we watched this movie, Barbarian. We are going to spoil the whole thing. So 100% go watch this movie.
If you can stomach
if you can
horror
stomach,
movies, thriller
horror
suspense.
It's actually not violent, right? There's not really a lot of violence.
I
There's one.
There's a lot of suspense.
It's mostly suspense. And it is this powerful, powerful story about, I'll go ahead and share it, but
skip this if you don't.
But it's about this woman who shows up to an Airbnb. Mm-hmm. Somebody is already in the Airbnb. It's a man. And she's very hesitant, but the man sort of coaxes her in. The woman in it, her name is Tess. And she goes in and she ends up meeting with this guy. And the whole story becomes this very intentional story of misleading you.
Yes.
Because at first you are
getting stressed just thinking about it.
You're felt, right? You're screaming at Tess not to stay at this person's Airbnb, but she literally can't stay in the city of Detroit because there's all the hotels are sold out or mm-hmm. whatever, which, you know, could or could not happen. Apparently there's this big convention, so she can only use this Airbnb and everything else is booked around. So she decides to stay and she ends up hitting it off with the guy.
Yeah.
And
he's so creepy too. What's really, that Skarsgård guy name?
The guy who plays It. And
yes.
And so at one point, they do have a conversation about the difference between men and women and how if she was in the house first, she would have never opened up the door for him.
Yes.
Right? And the director knows that the people watching this are horror fanatics. So there are certain things where she's like, hey, can you show me your reservation on your phone as well? And he does. And you're like, oh, he probably made that up.
Yeah, you're not trusting. Yeah,
you're not trusting.
Well, they perfectly casted him too.
So
I just want to get his name.
So basically, we think this is going to be the villain. He's going to do something absolutely atrocious to her, and she goes to bed at night. And at one point, she wakes up in the middle of the night. She sees her door open, and she gets up and she walks out. And we see this, but she doesn't see it. But she sees there's a door that closes behind her and she sees the guy sleeping on the couch. And at this point, you're like, okay, there's something going on in this house.
Yes.
That's unrelated
to Skarsgård. His name is Keith in the movie, but Bill Skarsgård is his name.
Bill Skarsgård. And she eventually, she goes to this job interview, which is why she's staying at this Airbnb. But she does things like take a picture of his ID at one point.
Heck yeah.
And we are pretty sure when she comes back that this guy is like going to kill her.
Yes.
At one point, because she goes back and she goes in the basement and he'll make sudden moves. Yeah, yeah.
And
it's just really weird.
Creepy.
But she gets... At one point, she's in the house without him there, and she finds this secret room in the basement where there's like a dirty bed and
a camcorder.
Yeah. And she goes upstairs. She sees the guy Keith, and she's like, "We need to leave now. We need to leave." And Keith is like, "No, no, no. Just don't go anywhere. Like, you sound crazy." And it becomes this whole almost metaphor of like sexual assault survivors. Like, this thing happened and you tell somebody about your experience and they gaslight you. Like, no, no.
Yeah.
So Keith says, let me go in the
basement.
And the
gaslighting is recurring in the movie. You remember like the scenes with the cops and stuff like that. Yeah. She's constantly gaslit like the entire time.
So basically what happens, Keith goes down there and we don't hear anything. And the film, the directors have now, they go from a point of making us think Keith is villainous to now we trust him. Because he is a musician and we learn his backstory to now like, oh, he's been setting this whole thing up and he's been stalking Tess to lock her up in this room.
Yes.
Is that what you got?
Yes, yes. But it feels, if you watch the show You on Netflix, it feels very much like Joe Goldberg. You're like, I don't know if I want to like have sex with this guy or if I want to run away from him. Like
That's the power. That's what they do such a good job.
Yes, they humanize this person so much and then you're like, yeah, but he had to kill that person because they were doing this to him. And then you're like, wait, no, why am I sticking up for a killer?
It's very very Joe-esque. At one point, there are all these little details where the guy's like, hey, as we're waiting, I'm going to clean some sheets for you so you can sleep at the bed. You're like, I will open this bottle of wine that was left for us and you can see me pour it.
Yeah.
Right?
And I'll make you some tea and you can watch me make it.
You can watch it. And so he's like, I don't want to freak you out. I understand this situation is weird. And all our red flags is going up. But who we think is the villain is never the villain in this film.
Yes.
And so you go down and you hear Keith like yelling, and she goes down there and
just into here. Keith is like, make them go see it.
Keith is like, yo, like, we got to get out. Something bit me down here. And we see this like monster bash Keith's head in. So the main villain is now replaced by this monster.
Yeah.
Like this naked monster woman.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just and the movie goes from there. However, we think the monster is this naked monster woman.
Right. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. That's she's the big bad, but she's not.
She's not the big bad. And then the film has this way of just cutting.
Cutting, yes.
Like the editing between this. So then, and then the film just stops.
This is
stops.
Like a future director's like, wait,
oh, yeah. And this is the director's first film. And I thought that was such a brilliant way where we're constantly reminded that the real villain in the film is never who we think it is. And then we're introduced to this famous movie actor who owns the property with this like secret room.
Yes.
And he's been accused of
rape. And then you think he's the bad,
now
the
you
big
think
bad.
He's the person who's been secretly like holding monsters under here, and there's like cages.
But it turns out he
goes and he discovers this room. But what he does is, since he needs money, he instead of being freaked out like the woman, his response is, oh, I have this extra room in my house, more square footage. And
yes.
You just see him measuring, right? Measuring the square footage because he needs to sell this,
and he's like,
this home because he has all these. Yeah, it's so nuts.
Just go watch it. We watch it on Hulu. I don't want to break down each act of it because I'm getting the creeps just even re-listening to it. But there's just so many twists and turns.
What the film does as well is that it shows that someone who has had to have their guard up, how they look at a situation.
Yes.
Compared to someone who has the world just open for them.
Yes.
And that's a very, it's this film. It shows the difference between women and men.
It does.
Someone who's experienced trauma and someone who hasn't.
Yes.
And so it's like, I see a room that's a torture chamber. How can I make money off of this compared to, I need to get the fuck out of here.
Right.
And even all the men in there are bad, right? Like,
except for the homeless guy who like warns her. But I also think that this movie so brilliantly considers its audience, but is still smarter than its audience because there is this relationship that you have between you, like the movie, the film, and your audience. And I feel like sometimes filmmakers forget, like, somebody's watching this too. So like, don't even make it just a watch, make it a full court sensory experience for both people. So it's like, if the main character is stressed and we are stressed with the main character, that really bodes well. And now in act two, we know why this main character was stressed, but now this new character is introduced and we know more than that character. So it just kept, like, I remember thinking, This movie knew we needed a glass of water here.
Yeah.
This movie knew we needed a break. This movie knew our heartbeats couldn't keep going like this for another 2 hours. And that
it,
is
it
like,
wouldn't have been sustainable.
It wouldn't have been sustainable. And so sometimes movies, I'm like, why is this scene drawing out so long? Because I'm like, I think directors get so caught up in their vision and their story and like sticking to a script. And I'm like, you're not thinking about, your audience is kind of bored now. Your audience needs a bathroom break right here. Your audience needs a popcorn re-up right here. And I think Barbarian did a perfect play of like, now we're on guard again.
or also being like, this is the terrifying thing.
It's like, I see what's going on.
So for example, she goes down into the basement, finds a trap door, opens the trap door, finds a secret room, but finds another trap door that's just tunnels upon tunnels leading to other homes and houses in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so we think, The secret room is scary. Oh no, the tunnel's below the secret room. So there's just layer upon layer.
They just like, yes and then, up the stakes. You know I love stakes.
The biggest twist ever is that we find out this monster woman was actually a product of rape of a man who's been kidnapping people and keeping them down there. And so we think this woman, this monster mutant woman, is evil. But at the end, there's this very intimate moment where Tess and the woman who is a the quote unquote barbarian, you know, a cannibalistic mutant, think of like, you know, Wrong Turn type of person, mm-hmm. says to Tess, mommy. And they have this almost intimate moment where you see the long nails and she touches her.
Ben was very touched.
It was emotional.
Close my eyes.
It was emotional because this monster ends up saving Tess from like the rapist actor.
Yeah.
Who we're led to believe is going to have some sort of redemption at one point. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't. There's like a come to Jesus moment.
And he was perfectly cast too, because he's typically
Justin Long
because he is typically cast as a fun loving, easygoing guy in a rom com. Yeah. He is the love interest.
A lot of the teenage funny movies that were coming out, sort of the American Pie movies that were coming out.
Yeah,
after.
Like kind of like that. So I remember thinking like they did such a brilliant job making Bill Skarsgård, who looks creepy as shit, the like nice guy.
But
and
even
then
him like
Justin
didn't believe
Long.
Tess that like Tess was like, we should not be in the house.
No,
and
he
if
didn't.
He listened to her, he would have lived.
No, he didn't. But it's brilliant casting to cast somebody who has literally been cast as like Pennywise he is the face
red
of fear.
Herring. Yes.
And so it's brilliant to cast him, and then Justin Long, who's like goofy rom-com guy, is also a villain. Like that's just smart. Like I actually love when movies, because casting can feel so formulaic now. Like, we know who ScarJo is going to be. We know who's Anne Hathaway is going to be. So then every now and then when it's like, oh, Anne, you're the villain, it's refreshing.
The other thing that blew my mind was the way that they filmed the house. So there are moments where you just see Tess to the side, and most of the shot is the house. So the house almost becomes this other character.
Yes.
Both. And we see the house.
As does Detroit as a whole.
Detroit as well.
And
character. We see the house in the present 2022. And then it cuts back to like Reagan eras, 1989. Yeah. And we see the houses changing of the time. And it becomes a character within itself. And so when a director can make a camera lens too. Oh, yeah. It's so creepy. And then when we're introduced to the final, like, big main character, which is this man who's been kidnapping people and doing terrible things and keeping, like, video footage of them, which you don't see any of the video footage. You just see.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for not showing
yes,
that.
Yes, there's
and,
nothing
still,
like.
It still was very effective. Yes.
Yeah. So you see just the label of, like, puker, red hair. Woman at the gas station. You're like, oh my goodness. So the labels on the videos is like, this guy is sick.
Sick. Insane. Yeah. The actual barbarian.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, please watch Barbarian. If you got the stomach for it. If you've seen it already, because it's not new, but if you've seen it already, like, let us know what you thought of the movie. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
It's one of my favorite movies.
I thought Talk to Me was gonna be the scariest movie I saw this year, but so far Barbarian is up there. That's why I can't sit and just watch Freddy Krueger
Freddy Krueger is a little bit.
I know it's a classic. Yeah. I know, but it's just like
the things it built, the suspense it built on is.
Barbarian stands on the shoulders of Nightmare on Elm Street and all the other horror films, but like a movie like Barbarian are the types of horror films I want to see. Like, I can't just watch like Saw anymore. I'm like, okay, I get it. It's a game. Like,
Barbarian is one of my favorite movies ever, and it's all about who is the real barbarian, and it turns out to be the person that actually almost kills Tess is the hot like Hollywood actor who's raped a woman.
Yeah.
And it's just a perfect movie. It's a short film.
Yeah.
I
never stay up for films tonight,
like,
and I watched the whole thing.
Hour and 30. Yeah. Insanity. Amber stayed up.
Let's watch another one tonight.
You know what? It was cool. After watching, I felt closer to you. I felt more intimate with you.
after that horror film?
Yeah, I was just
I can see that. It de-stressed us.
We connected in a way that we hadn't connected that day, even though we'd been with each other all day.
Yeah.
So it was just, and I really thought I was going to get some that night, but you fell
asleep.
I can't
give you none when I'm terrified.
I was so wide awake. Actually, I didn't tell you this. I ate like 2 gummies. I was
that
so fucking high.
Before the movie or after?
After the movie. I got so fucking high because I couldn't sleep. I was so terrified. So I got high as shit, and I journaled, and then I was able to finally go to sleep.
You know me. They could have done a sleep study on me.
They could. Oh, easily.
I was knocked the fuck out.
Amber goes to sleep so easily. I'm so jealous. My mind was so stimulated. I can't wait to find another horror movie like that. I think we're going to watch Titanium. It's about a
Titanium. I don't know. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Anyway,
send us your horror movies this Halloween season, and thank you so much for listening to another episode of Fly on the Wallin and supporting our live show in New York City. I hope it's going well. I hope we haven't fell on our faces or missed our flight or something crazy like that. But if we did, thank you for showing us so much love, and we'll see y'all next week for the show. Bye, y'all. You know they're from TikTok, 'cause those laughs keep you coming, 'cause they're wildin' all the time. Before wild throws a tantrum, they sing to our silly anthem, 'cause they're wildin' all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats and does a dance to please her plants, and Ben reads books while serving looks. Wild is wildin' all the time. Fly, fly, oh, to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.